Hello, this is Tamara reading the Decatur Herald and Review. It's Wednesday, July 15th. Let's start with the front page. From Donette Beckett. Decatur Civic Center. Summer skating, a cool escape. And we have a photo on the front page of John Erickson helping Hank Shade, 8, learn the basics of skating during the Decatur Youth Hockey Association's first beginner summer session at the Decatur Civic Center ice rink on Monday. Hockey and public rink times return early amid heat warning. Meteorologists have issued hazardous heat warnings, but the Decatur Civic Center has a remedy for that, ice. Ice skaters looking for relief from the heat, as well as an alternative form of exercise, can now strap on a pair of skates during public skate times. The ice has gone in sooner this year than any year before, said hockey coach John Erickson at the Decatur Youth Hockey Association's beginner summer session. It used to be traditionally September. According to Sarah Butts, marketing and events manager, the Civic Center has attempted to open the rink earlier and earlier each year. We had such great turnout, she said, about the early opening dates, and everybody was looking for something else to do in the summer to beat the heat a little bit. The Decatur Train Fair during the last weekend in June was the last event in the arena for the year. With the ice in place, Decatur Youth Hockey kicked off the season with practices this week. Everyone's excited and ready to go, Butt said. The summer weather outside and cool temperatures inside may cause some indecision on how to dress. We have skaters that come in with tank tops and short-sleeve shirts and shorts. Then we have skaters that come in snowsuits, Butt said. But even in the dead of winter, we tell people to dress in layers. You do get hot. Admission for ice skating is $8 with a $3 skate rental. For open times, visit the Decatur Civic Center website. The arena will be covered in ice until the end of the hockey season early next year. During that time, the Civic Center staff will avoid hosting events. It's very expensive for us to cover the ice, Butt said. The process of covering the ice takes one day and another day to remove it. Combined with the event, the ice is unavailable for at least 3 days. It really is all hands on deck, Erickson said, of the intricate and involved process of installing the ice. It's a lot of hard work, but boy, is it worth it. For added safety, patrons can bring only clear bags or purses. Face coverings, hoodies pulled over the face, and crop tops aren't allowed. And skates must be worn at all times on the ice. Extra cameras have been installed. Security will be using metal detecting wands for those entering the rink. No refunds will be available. It's just for everyone's safety and to keep our kids in there safe. For more information, you can contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or follow her on Twitter at Donette B, capital H, capital R. Now from Bren Selensky, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Pritzker OKs Laws on Taxes, AI in School. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed 31 new laws on Friday as he continues evaluating measures passed in the spring session, including bills banning certain ingredients from cosmetics and correct the state's property tax laws. Senate Bill 3341 allows minors to receive birth control without permission from their parents or another adult. With Illinois' new law, half of states now allow minors to access birth control on their own. During debate on the bill in the Senate, Republicans objected and said it cuts parents out of important decisions concerning their children. They also worried minors won't fully understand complications from birth control. House Bill 3409 bans manufacturing and selling cosmetic products with 11 different ingredients that are considered harmful substances or forever chemicals. The law specifically bans manufacturers from intentionally including these ingredients in their products. For too long, the cosmetics industry has operated without the kind of oversight we apply to food, medicine, and drinking water, bill sponsor Senate Mattie Hunter, Democrat, Chicago, said in the statement. Many of the ingredients are already banned in cosmetics sold in the European Union. Illinois' law affects law takes effect in July 2028, but it does not outline penalties for manufacturers and sellers that fail to comply. House Bill 4537 brings Illinois into compliance with the 2023 Supreme Court decision, Tyler v. Hennepin County, that regulates property tax debts. Now, if a homeowner has their property seized and sold for failing to pay debt, they will receive any surplus funds left over from the auction. Illinois is the last state to comply with the 2023 Supreme Court decision, which found that selling a property over unpaid debt without returning surplus to the owner was a violation of the property owner's rights. States quickly began complying, but the Illinois bill that ultimately passed in May took years of negotiations. In Cook County, the legislature voted on multiple occasions to postpone tax sales while lawmakers came up with a more permanent solution that Pritzker signed last week. Senate Bill 2909 prohibits school administrators from using artificial intelligence to evaluate teachers. Likewise, teachers also cannot use AI to meet performance requirements. The bill does not prohibit teachers or school administrators from using AI in other forms of work, however. I'm in favor of exploring AI as a tool for basic organization and streamlining simple aspects of modern work, but this technology is not capable of effectively carrying out judgment-based tasks as complex, bill sponsor Representative Mary Beth Canty, Democrat Arlington Heights, said in a statement. House Bill 4577 implements a definition of play-based learning into state law for kindergarten classes. The concept was already required for kindergarten classes. The new law just made it more specific. It describes teacher-initiated play as teacher-led activities that are aligned to learning goals or standards, and student-initiated play as activities chosen by the child to build, pretend, create, move, or explore in an environment intentionally curated by a teacher to align with learning goals or standards. Play-based learning is essential in helping children develop strong cognitive and social-emotional skills that help prepare them for early learning grades. Bill sponsor Representative Laura Favor, DS, Democrat Grays Lake, said in a statement, "We want our children to succeed, and that means incorporating the best teaching style possible for their age." House Bill 4203 expands the definition of someone at risk for ovarian cancer to include people who have reached high levels on certain blood tests. It also expands annual screenings to more specifically include ultrasound, MRIs, and other imaging rather than only surveillance tests, like under previous law. The law takes effect in 2028. School districts are prohibited from expelling students in kindergarten through second grade under House Bill 3772, unless state law would otherwise require it. House Bill 4339 requires high schools to provide all eligible graduating students an opportunity to register to vote. The bill is named after Reverend Jesse Jackson, who died earlier this year, and was known for his work registering young people to vote. Many high schools already provide voter registration opportunities to students. The bill also doesn't outline how schools should implement the new requirement, which led some Republicans to oppose it, over fears schools could make voter registration partisan. Unlike many other states, Illinois voters do not register with a specific party. The new law takes effect immediately, but it doesn't create penalties for schools that don't comply. House Bill 4428 requires pretrial service agencies to send defendants 3 text message reminders about their court date. The courts must keep those messages as part of their records. Supporters of the bill say they believe it will help more people show up to their mandatory court dates. The law takes effect immediately. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. From local and world news, Macon County. Locations to cool off and beat the heat. Macon County Emergency Management Agency's 2026 list of cooling centers, along with hours of operation and contact information. In Decatur, the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. The Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Macon County Department of Human Service, 1027 North Water Street, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 217-362-6500. Oasis Day Center, 243 West Saragordo Street, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, closed 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., 217-422-3940. Good Samaritan Inn, 920 North Union Street, noon meal program, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. Outside of Decatur, the Blue Mound Village Hall, Forsyth Public Library, Friends Creek Community Building, Harristown Village Hall, Macon City Hall, Moroa City Hall, Mount Zion Convention Center, and Warrensburg Village Hall. From Decatur, Donette Beckett, DMH Opens Therapy Center. Patients in need of physical and occupational therapy will have a new centralized location to fulfill their needs. Memorial Therapy Center in Decatur recently opened its doors to the newest facility at 675 West Pershing Road. The previous location for Memorial Therapy was on 27th Street in Decatur. The new location is larger, the staff noted. The other facility didn't have the same dynamic care footprint with all the services in one location, said Dr. Kelly Hill. This puts the proximity of care centralized in our community, right near the hospital location and on the bus line for our patients. The community is invited to an open house at 4 p.m. August 13th to learn more about the facility. The building recently housed a buffet restaurant. Renovations included separate entrances for adults and pediatric patients. Our goal, or our mission, is to improve lives and build a stronger community through better health, said Tanya Andricks, president and CEO of Decatur Memorial Hospital. This is another example of us being able to do just that. Memorial Therapy Center provides various physical occupational therapy options for adults and pediatrics, including sports rehabilitation, neurological therapy, orthopedic, and speech therapies. We also service some specialty areas within those disciplines, Hill said. All of those disciplines require the therapist to be specialized or specialty trained. Hand, lymphedema, and women's pelvic health therapies are just a few of the specialized services offered. The staff is prepared to work with patients of various needs, conditions, and illnesses, Hill said. This is a phenomenal team, she said. They're dedicated. They love what they do. Referrals are required for each patient, Hill said. Typically, doctor clearance is really important, she said. The staff will be able to assist patients through the process of finding a doctor. We don't want that to be a barrier. If they need us to help bridge that gap with primary care or finding a physician, Hill said. We'll help give patients the right language or ability to communicate back to their physicians. But ultimately, the care is directed by the physicians. From our food page today, B5, whether you're broiling or grilling it, this dish is a winner. Blaine Moats, Eating Well. A little sizzle. Flank steak and shishitos were made for summertime. From Brianna Colleen, Eating Well. This flank steak recipe comes together easily on a baking sheet, but if you're itching to take it outside, fire up the grill instead. Just be sure to use a grill basket for the peppers so you don't end up chasing them around the grates, or worse, losing them to the fire. This serves four, sweet and peppery flank steak with shishitos. Ingredients include brown sugar, ground pepper, kosher salt, a pound of flank steak trimmed, a pound of shishito or mini bell peppers, sesame oil, rice vinegar, and a scallion. For complete ingredients and a list of instructions on the recipe, please see the in-print version of the Decatur Herald and Review. Today in History, Wednesday, July 15th, In 1806, U.S. Army Lieutenant Zebulon Pike and a group of men set out from Fort Bellefontaine in Missouri near St. Louis to explore the western and southern portions of the Louisiana Territory. In 1815, on this date, 6 weeks after his defeat at Waterloo in present-day Belgium, former French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte surrendered to British Captain Frederick Lewis Maitland on the HMS Belleferon. In 1834, the Spanish Inquisition was definitively dissolved by a decree from Spanish Queen Regent Maria Cristina de Bourbon. Now from our opinion page, A7. Judging the court is our topic. Our first column is by Chris Talgo. Talgo is the editorial director at the Heartland Institute. He wrote this for InsideSources.com. Justices favor a colorblind society. Ding the deep state. The U.S. Supreme Court recently concluded its 236th annual term after hearing 74 cases and holding 58 oral arguments. In most cases, the nine justices did not reach unanimous agreement. Likewise, the public reaction to many of these rulings was mixed. Even scholars and academics disagreed vehemently on many decisions. What matters, though, is whether the court upheld and preserved the Constitution in its far-reaching decisions. On this benchmark, the Supreme Court did a splendid job. First, the court's decision in Louisiana v. Calais reinforced the constitutional principle of equal justice for all, enshrined in the 14th Amendment. It doubled down on the idea that the United States is a colorblind society. Should race play a role in the drawing of congressional maps? That was what the court wrestled with in this case. In the end, by a 6-3 vote, the court ruled that Louisiana's use of race-based redistricting for its 2022 congressional map was an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Though some claim this ruling gutted the Voting Rights Act, it supported the original intent of the 1965 Civil Rights Law by ensuring that government does not use race as an arbitrary factor in decision-making. Second, the court's decision in Trump v. Slaughter sustained the constitutional principles of separation of powers, checks and balances, and popular sovereignty. In short, the court held that the president has the power to fire executive branch employees without Congress's express approval. By another 6-3 vote, the court ruled, subordinates who exercise the president's power are subject to removal by him. Then and only then can they remain accountable to the president and the people, the president to the people. Aside from cementing the president's power to remove executive branch bureaucrats, which the Constitution clearly allows, this ruling also addresses the unconstitutional development of the deep state. Executive branch agencies possess vast, sweeping regulatory powers, in part because the legislative branch has outsourced policymaking to these departments. According to the Constitution, Congress should make the laws. The president, via the executive branch, implements laws. Congress cannot make laws and micromanage their execution. It cannot have its cake and eat it, too. Third, the court maintained its fidelity to the Constitution in its ruling in West Virginia v. BPJ, finding that schools may ban biological males from competing in women's sports. Again, the court preserved the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, this time under the auspices of Title IX, which states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Moreover, the court articulated that the argument that the challenged laws unconstitutionally discriminate against transgender individuals is unavailing. In a win for federalism, the court ruled that states have the last word when it comes to who can and cannot participate in women's sports. Though all three of these landmark rulings certainly pass constitutional muster, the court continues to come under attack from leftists. They despise the originalist interpretations held by the majority of the justices. These justices focus on what the text of the Constitution was understood to mean when it was adopted. The Supreme Court does not make nor execute the laws, but it has the ultimate power to determine whether those laws and how they are executed adhere to the high bar set by the Constitution. I may not agree with every court decision during the High Court's latest term. Nevertheless, I am confident that the current Supreme Court is upholding and strengthening the U.S. Constitution, which remains the world's greatest governing charter, the utmost defense of the individual liberty, and the best bulwark against tyranny. We'll read the second column from a different point of view in the second half of today's reading of the paper. From our nutrition page, very well. Here's the scoop in acai bowls and how to build one that's nutrient dense. From Jessica Bunch, Environmental Nutrition. Acai bowls have become a staple of health cafes, fitness influencers, and social media feeds, often prompted as the ultimate clean breakfast or post-workout meal. But are acai bowls actually healthy, or are they just smoothies served in a bowl with good marketing? The answer lies in how they're made. Acai berries, native to the Amazon rainforest, are naturally rich in antioxidants, particularly anthocyanins, which help combat oxidative stress in the body. They also provide fiber and contain small amounts of healthy fats, including omega fatty acids. On their own, acai berries can be a nutritious addition to a balanced diet. However, most people don't consume plain acai berries. Instead, they're blended into bowls with a variety of fruits, liquids, and toppings, where the nutritional profile can shift dramatically. Acai bowls can become sugar bombs. Without sufficient protein or healthy fats to slow digestion, these bowls can cause blood sugar spikes, followed by energy crashes. Choose unsweetened frozen acai packs and blend them with unsweetened plant milk or water. Avoid fruit juice bases, which add unnecessary sugar without fiber. A small amount of banana is enough to create a creamy texture without overwhelming the bowl. Be mindful with the fruit. Berries such as blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries are lower in sugar and high in fiber and antioxidants. Protein transforms an acai bowl from a snack into a satisfying meal. Options include protein powder, Greek yogurt, skyr, silken tofu, or nut butter. Aim for at least 15 to 20 grams of protein if the bowl is replacing a meal. Toppings such as chia seeds, flax seeds, nuts, or a small portion of granola, 1/4 cup, work well. Acai bowls are customizable. When built with whole ingredients, adequate protein, and controlled portions, they can be a nutrient-dense, energizing meal. Be careful on the sweeteners and toppings. They quickly cross into dessert territory. In our E-Edition Plus, we have 20 new poetry collections to add to your reading lists. Just a couple examples. Dean Young, Creature Feature. Young, who underwent a heart transplant in 2011, died in 2022, and this posthumous collection completes a planned trilogy that began with Shock by Shock and Solar Perplexus. Lovingly assembled by his friends at Copper Canyon, these poems include haunting lines such as, "Make every exit an entrance." From Arielle Hebert, Bottom Feeders. The title poem of this powerhouse collection offers a potent, double-barreled burst of unflinching detail and narrative as two queer Florida teens struggle to navigate the nighttime world of swamp ranches, waterfront mansions, and burnt-out trailers. The poem Alligator Fight opens with the couplet, "We were the kind of girls that brought a bat to prom, and it was simply impossible to stop breathing further." And finally, Cole Swenson, Veer. The prolific National Book Award-nominated poet returns with her 20th collection. Veer is rich with paragraph-shaped poems, which careen from meditations on the nature of crows or a door that mysteriously swings open to richly observed reveries on the natural world, from fields of California wildflowers to twilight on a river. from our national and world news page, Reuters, U.S. cyclosporiasis cases continue to multiply. Federal officials to begin tracking down source of the outbreak. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said Tuesday it will conduct traceback investigations on produce items, including lettuce, as officials try to identify the source of a cyclosporiasis outbreak and the number of lab-confirmed cases continues to rise. No deaths have been reported from the outbreak, but 141 people were hospitalized so far, with 1,645 lab-confirmed cases reported across 34 states, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The agency said it was aware of more than 5,100 additional reports that require more analysis and confirmation. Cyclosporiasis is an intestinal infection that can be contracted by consuming food, typically raw fruits and vegetables, or water contaminated with feces, according to the CDC. It causes diarrhea, nausea, and other gastrointestinal symptoms. While the United States experienced outbreaks of the gastrointestinal illness before, the scale and geographic spread of this year's outbreak are significantly larger, prompting concern among health officials who so far haven't pinpointed the source of the outbreak. Again from Reuters in Washington, D.C., House bill would make daylight saving permanent. Legislation would mean no more spring forward, fall back. The U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted Tuesday to pass a bill making daylight savings time permanent and ending the twice-yearly practice of changing clocks that has been observed across most of the United States since the 60s. The 308-117 vote sends the bill to the Senate. If enacted, clocks would no longer return to standard time in November, though states could opt out of year-round daylight saving time. Supporters say changing the clocks disrupts sleep, increases workplace injuries, and contributes to more road accidents. They also argue that keeping clocks an hour ahead year-round would provide more evening daylight and boost economic activity during the winter months. Critics say the change would mean the sun rises an hour later on winter mornings, leaving more children traveling to school and commuters heading to work before daylight. President Donald Trump strongly supports the measure. On Monday, House lawmakers rejected a request to vote on a proposal that would have made standard time rather than daylight saving time permanent. From the Digest, report: clean energy cuts delay $83 billion in investment. Trump administration policies that scaled back federal support for clean energy led to the cancellation or delay of $83 billion in investment across hundreds of projects, according to a report released Tuesday by the environmental coalition Blue-Green Alliance. The analysis found that 223 manufacturing and clean energy projects, representing $82.9 billion in investment and 111,765 jobs, have stalled or been canceled during President Donald Trump's second presidency. Every time another infrastructure project is delayed, canceled, or made the subject of political fights, no matter the party, it's working people who pay the price, Brent Booker, general president of the Laborers International Union of North America, told senators during the meeting. Televised address. President Donald Trump will address the nation at 9 p.m. Eastern Thursday about newly declassified intelligence on investigations into U.S. elections and what the White House says are voting machine vulnerabilities, an administration official said. On this date, in 1870, Georgia was permanently readmitted to the United States after the Civil War. On this date in 1903, Ford Motor Company sold its first car via an order to a Chicago dentist who requested a Model A. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Wednesday, July 15th. Please stay tuned.